Hey everyone, welcome to the Murder Board Podcast. This is Civil Trials, the discussion show for the Murder Board Podcast. I'm your host, Walter, and tonight I am here with Shelton.
Hello.
And Zaria.
Hello.
Great to have you back, guys.
It's good to be back.
Yes, and tonight we are discussing Who Framed Roger Rabbit? This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you have not seen this movie, this is your spoiler warning. If you have, I hope you enjoy the show. All right, guys.
Also, if you haven't, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, this movie's like
okay. This is my first time finishing the movie, so there's nothing wrong. It's very likely. I knew like the references and everything, and like references to the movie and like the characters. I just like never finished it before.
That makes sense. Not really, but okay. All right, first off, I wanted to say welcome back, guys. We haven't recorded in a while. Well, kind of sort of in a while, but as of this recording, an episode would not have come out for a while, for this will be just before Thanksgiving break. But yeah, welcome back, guys. This is officially season 3 of the podcast. So first of all, congratulations for being on season 2.
Hey, we didn't get murdered. That's what's up.
But yeah, so this is the start of season 3. We're starting with a whole new series, a mystery series. So this is exciting. That explains why we're doing Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Although, when people think mystery, I doubt Who Framed Roger Rabbit is the first thing they think of.
Yeah,
I'm going to get into all the movies that we're doing this for this series. But honestly, these are all the movies that were just available for us to watch. And there were some other ones that I did want to do, like Prisoners or Knives Out, but I decided to save them. So with that being said, I want to ask you guys, how do you guys feel about the podcast as a whole and being on it and being back for season 3?
I missed y'all. Y'all are funny. but no, this is like super cool because like I kind of joined in like during the summer and I'm through or whatever. And I don't know, I like really look forward to like doing it every like week and so. So whenever like we're on that break, I was like, okay.
I guess I'll just
I love it. I think it's a healthy outlet for us to yell at each other about our different tastes in movies and
yes.
Why we hate or love something.
Yes.
Healthily yell at each other. I love it.
This is more healthier and more structured, I would say. But I did go back, Zaria, to your first episode this week, 13 Reasons Why. We did that back in, towards the beginning of June, I think. So, that's actually a pretty good episode. It's so funny listening to that episode because me and you were just geeking out over this four-season show.
I was, like, really geeked out when you told me, about the episode. And then, like, when you were like, hey, do you want to be on this episode? I was like, yeah, sure. And then this episode turned into I'm just here.
I absolutely loved it. Like, it was the beginning of June when you first joined, because that was a part of our controversy series, and then me and Shelton kind of finished that up. But then it came July, you were like, true crime, oh hell yeah, I'm in. I was like, all right. And yes, man, I think our true crime episodes are our best episodes. They are hilarious. I even went back and did I listened to Zodiac. That one has me, Javon, and Shelton on it. We were really going at it with that movie. Like, me, Shelton, and Javon all had different opinions about that movie. I didn't like it that much. Javon seemed to be really into it, and Shelton was kind of like, yeah. Like, that was Shelton the whole time.
No, I think my favorite one to go back to is Bully.
That is definitely. Oh, I love that episode. That is our best episode.
We were just stupid.
It was such a fun conversation. But so this is season 3 of the podcast. Before we get into the movie, I did want to, or pretty much our main topic, I did want to get into the future schedule a little bit. Now, not a lot of things are set in stone, but I did want to give you guys what we are doing for the next couple of months leading into next year. So this is November. This is our November mystery series. So we're starting today with Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And then next time we'll do Scooby-Doo from 2002, a movie I'm so excited to talk about. You guys have no idea. After that, we'll be doing The Dark Knight from 2008. And then we'll be doing Gone Girl from 2014. That'll end the series, but there is a secret Thanksgiving bonus series that I have already recorded with a special guest, but you guys will have to wait to find out what that is. Yes, it's actually a really, really entertaining episode. So, yes, I can't say anymore, but I can't wait to get it out there. But that's going to be out probably the week of Thanksgiving, or maybe before, depending on when I get all these out. So then we'll move into December. We're doing 3 episodes for that series because it's the Christmas holiday season and everybody's going to be busy. But so I've really struggled to keep the lineup for this one. But we'll start off with a movie that I really want you guys to watch called Blood Rage. It's actually a Thanksgiving movie, so we'll be covering Thanksgiving in the beginning of December. And it is absolutely wild. It is another slasher movie, but it is a amazing, like, so bad it's good slasher about Thanksgiving. And I remember Zarya asked me, you know, what is there a Thanksgiving horror movie? And I struggled to find one, and then I came across this one. I have actually seen it before. I watched it over the summer, and I have been happy that I watched it ever since. So we're doing that one. After that, we'll do another slocky 80s Christmas horror movie called Silent Night, Deadly Night, a movie I absolutely love. And then we'll end that series with The Nightmare Before Christmas, and that's Savannah's favorite movie, a movie that I've actually never seen all the way through. So that's going to be a first for me. Will I like it? Will I not like it? Stay tuned. And then moving into January, it'll be mainly me and Shelton, but Zarya, you and the others can join in as well. I might actually have Chadette or Solo in this one too. But me and Shelton are going to tackle the, as we reflect on 2020 and move into 2021, me and Shelton will reflect on the apocalypse era, mainly the cosmic horror apocalypse. This is a genre Shelton absolutely loves, and I wanted to give him something as he suffered all through those. Shelton really did suffer through those slasher movies. So this is
Shelton is very vocal about not being a slasher fan.
Yes.
Like how slashers are, you can see how he
Black
feels
Christmas
in the past
episodes. Yeah, Black Christmas. But
don't
yeah,
get me
so
started on that one.
So January is our cosmic apocalypse month. We're doing 3 movies. We'll be tackling the John Carpenter apocalypse trilogy. We'll start with The Thing, and then Prince of Darkness, and then In the Mouth of Madness. And it'll be interesting for me and Sheldon to debate there. And then in February, inspired by the comments made by Zarya a while ago, we are doing some Black movies, some Black horror movies. Well, these aren't necessarily Black horror movies. I didn't want to be that basic and do it, but I did go and find some that I found movies that had really emphasized or commented on the Black experience in cinema very well. So that will be one. Number one will be Scream 2. Not because I love Scream, but also because I do want to get through all the Scream movies before the new one comes out. I want you all to watch them. Plus, I really do like the Scream episode we did. I re-listened to it a little while ago, so I think it's a good. I think Scream 2, you guys will absolutely love as well. I think it's just as funny as the first one, but it does provide some actual surprises. After that, we'll be doing our first Tarantino movie with Django Unchained. A very long movie, but a very epic movie. So I can't wait for you guys to actually do that one. And then we'll end with a movie that we all 3 actually saw together, Get Out, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yes, we'll be going back to Get Out.
I do like that movie.
Yes, we will. All right. And then, so after that, we have March and April. These are kind of two-parters. We have March for March Madness. We're going to get into a lot of movies that I really want to show you guys. These art movies, but they're also really, really crazy movies that I am 100% betting that you guys will be saying WTF to. So we're starting. We're going to revisit. I'm going to finally get my episode, and I'm going to force Javon on it too. But Hereditary, we're going to start with that one and really get into it in a much structured way. We've talked about it in the past privately, but I really want to get it onto an actual podcast. One of my favorite movies ever. After that, we'll do The Killing of a Sacred Deer, another movie I absolutely love. And then we'll do another movie that I actually saw last year called Daniel Isn't Real. It stars Patrick Schwarzenegger's son, and it's a heck of a movie. After that, yeah. we'll do a movie called Spree, a recent movie that came out. It's a it's not necessarily a found footage, but it is kind of found footage. It's kind of like a digital thing, you know. It's kind of like in the vein of Unfriended, those like desktop horrors, I think that's what they call it. But this stars Joe Kearney. If you don't know the name, he plays Steve Harrington on Stranger Things, and he is amazing in this movie. I can't wait for you guys to watch it. It's absolutely nuts. And then we'll move into April for April Mania. Here we'll tackle Midsommar, a movie that you guys love and a movie that I like. And then after that, we're going back to the 80s with an 86 movie, April Fool's Day. It is exactly how it sounds. It's a movie about April Fool's Day. It is a slasher movie about April Fool's Day, but it has a really, really funny twist at the end. So it's a fairly short movie too, but it's awesome. After that, we'll do Joker, because as you find out, even with this mystery series, we're going to slowly get through the DC heroes, apparently. It's just, I don't know how that happened, but a lot of movies from the DC world are on this list. plus, it's a movie that I think is worth talking about. We might do a Scorsese bonus series, but that might be with a different guest host. After that, we'll end with a... well, it depends. No, we'll end with a movie called Climax. It is... I can't even describe it. It's like a nonstop dance party nightmare. It came out maybe 1 or 2 years ago. It's from the same director as Love, Shelton. So you have that.
Oh God.
Yes. So you're gonna get into some weird cinema type. We're getting into some weird French cinema, and it's
bully-esque. It sounds like.
I think it's actually a step above Bully. Although yes. It is a step above, I think.
Ooh, how?
And yes, then.
You love, have you, Zarya?
No.
Don't. Oof. I love it. I 100% recommend it.
Well, just you also like Bully, so.
Yeah. Well, I think Love is a very good movie. It's a very sweet movie. But Climax, yeah. Oh my God. This movie will. I can already hear Savannah just like screaming at me for making her watch that movie. It's insane. So let's see here. I'm gonna have one more month, and then I'm gonna actually skip a month because I do want to tell you guys what we have for July. But for May, we're going meta again. We're going meta meta May. We're only doing three movies here, but I have Scream 3, which is the most meta, overly meta of the Scream movies. Plus, again, I have this mission to get through all the Scream movies. Then we're also going to Urban Legend. Picture Scream at college instead of horror movies, it's Urban Legends. So, you know, you're in for a treat. I've actually recently watched this for the first time. I like it, but I know that if I liked it, you guys are going to be very on the last end of the branch with it. And then we're going to a movie that I absolutely hate with every single passion of a thousand suns in my heart. Cabin in the Woods. Why are we doing this? Because I want to yell for an hour about this fucking movie. I hate this movie exists. This movie should not exist, but we're doing it. I'm actually going to skip June because I don't know what we're doing for that month, but I'm going to end with July because I'm excited for doing July. This is because Bully is our most popular episode. We're doing a bunch of Bully-esque movies. That oh, I didn't even know was out there. But no, okay. God. So this past True Crime July, we really went into the whole like murderer or serial killer lane. So I wanted to diversify it and get into some more interesting crimes. So the first movie we're doing is a movie called American Animals. This one is star-studded, and it's actually a really good movie. It's the reason that Evan Peters disappeared from American Horror Story for a while is because he was actually on this movie. He's the lead actor. This movie also features Blake Jenner. He's from Glee. He actually does a really good in this one. There's also another actor by the name of Barry Keoghan is in there. This is a pretty much a heist movie about a bunch of guys who try to steal a very expensive painting from their college library, and things go wrong, and it's absolutely interesting to watch. It's mesmerizing is the word I will use. I absolutely loved it. I think it's very underrated. Not a lot of people saw it, but I can't wait to talk about that one. After that, we're doing a very Bully-esque movie called Alpha Dog. I don't know if you guys ever heard about this movie. It's an older movie. It's got Anton Yelchin, and it's got Justin Timberlake. And this movie is pretty much I would call it a sequel to Bully, actually, because it's very similar. If I can think of just the plot, it's basically take Bully, but take it out of Florida and put it in the Hollywood Hills. And instead of a bully that gets murdered, think of a drug deal gone wrong and a little kid getting murdered.
Oh.
And them failing to cover it up.
Oh, damn.
Yes. Also, I can't wait for the argument. Were they wrong? Were they, you know, what's better? Throwing Bobby in the marsh or this kid being buried in a canyon? Like, yeah, it's a rough movie, but I can't wait to talk about it because it's got everything that we complained about in Bully. Naked people, sweaty white kids, and offbeat hip-hop music.
Lovely.
And then we're going into then the next movie we're going to do is a very interesting and more high-class movie. It's a movie called Goat. This movie stars Nick Jonas, actually. And we're going into the college fraternity scene as we check out a movie based on real-life events that happened at a college and a fraternity whose hazing went very, very wrong. And I think it'll be an interesting conversation to talk about that. And then after that, we're ending with The Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, man.
I know you guys will be excited.
Make mistakes.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's the upcoming schedule so far. The reason I skipped June is because I don't know what we're doing, because I can't decide on a theme. And the fall stuff we'll reveal later. But so that's what we got for the podcast. I do want to get back to everything we're doing. We're going to take a break here in a minute. But how do you guys feel about the upcoming schedule so far? What are you excited about? What are you least excited about?
Cosmic horror, though, definitely all the way. Hell yeah, let's go! I haven't even seen a lot of those cosmic horror movies either, just because nobody watches them, really. So
me neither.
Or at least no one we're around.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to talk about. What about you, Zarya?
I'm really ready for that horror Thanksgiving movie, because I've never seen one. So that's what I'm super excited for.
Mm-hmm.
At this moment, right now.
Yes. I think I'm most excited to get. I'm more excited to get to February because I think that'll be interesting. Plus, again, Scream 2's awesome. All right. So before we take a break, I do want to ask, because we're doing a mystery series, and before we get into the movie and everything. Do you guys like mysteries? Do you not like mysteries? Why not?
I love them because you have to it's like a puzzle, and I really, really like puzzles. So I have to take like each thing at a piece at a time to see the bigger picture. So I like taking steps to get to the bigger picture or who did it in a way.
I love them also just because I like the suspense of like, I don't know who killed this person. I don't know if they're going to kill more people. I don't know if I can even trust who the main characters are. It's just a wild ride.
All right. Yeah. And, you know, it's pretty obvious. I have a whole podcast about it. I love mysteries. I love all kinds of mysteries. My favorite is murder mysteries, but I love mysteries. So this is why we're doing this. Again, there were tons and tons of movies I wanted to put on this list, but I rounded this list because these movies were available immediately. Do you guys have a favorite type of mystery, or do you know the different types of mysteries?
I don't know the different types.
Nope.
All right, me neither. This is why I wrote them down. I've known that there are different types, but I didn't know how many there were. I looked it up. There's like 14, but a lot of them kind of repeat and they're very like detailed. So I'm not gonna get into all that. I narrowed it down. I consolidated and narrowed them down to 8. 8 type for mysteries, and I'm just going to round them off real quickly. You guys can give your reactions. So number one is your basic detective slash professional mystery. This is when the protagonist is a detective solving a case. So think like 21 Jump Street, 7, Saw, Catch Me If You Can. So that's number one. Number two is the amateur sleuth. So this is pretty much an average person, a nosy neighbor, spouse, teenagers, or kids on bikes. They all go out to solve a crime, get into hijinks. This is your, you know, average person solving a crime. So, you know, basic level Scooby-Doo, an upcoming upcoming movie called Woman in the Window, Disturbia, Stranger Things.
I think that one is my least favorite.
Kids on bikes?
Yes. Like, Stranger Things is great, but it also did a lot more than just kids on bikes, so.
The kids on bikes. Because I feel like the whole time, just like, where's your mother? Or where's your father? The whole time. Like, are y'all not being missed? Like, what is happening?
The police procedural. This is pretty much just the local police or, an average officer trying to solve a crime or chase down a killer or criminal. So, like, Law and Order, Zodiac, Lethal Weapon, those type of... It kind of fits into the buddy cop movie. And then number five, we have the legal and medical. This is pretty much the protagonist slash antagonist is a lawyer or a doctor or anyone in that high class status, business type wise. And they're either investigating a crime or being investigated. So think How to Get Away with Murder, Primal Fear, Body Heat, Disclosure. Disclosure is a very, very bad movie. But so any comments on those so far? The third kind is called a cozy mystery. This is pretty much your traditional lighthearted, no graphic, no sex type of mystery. It's one location and it's all pretty much reliant on intelligence and clue finding. So, you know, Knives Out, Clue, Murder on the Orient Express, any Agatha Christie type, you know, library, you know, classroom mystery, Murder, She Wrote type stuff. Very simple. Another type I actually really love. So number four, we have
I think my favorite is the police procedural, especially when they spice it up and have, like, the moment where the cop is, like, in the thick of everything, and then he or she gets way too invested and is just like, you're off the case, and then they start doing their own thing. That's always
I do, like, when cops go rogue, I do like that.
Yep. Although all I can think of is just a bunch of really bad 70s movies. But yeah. All right. So number six, we have the caper story. This is pretty much when it's flipped on its head. This is where the criminal's point of view. They're either being chased or working out a plan or, you know, trying to see if a plan will work. This is mainly like heist type stuff. Ocean's 11. Mm-hmm. Now You See Me. Then we have the suspense slash romance suspense. These move slower. Tension and escalation is pretty much the main point. Things just keep going wrong. And then there's just tons and tons of reveals. Roger Rabbit can kind of fit in this one. And so this is pretty much the audience knows more than the characters don't. I think that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So like we talked about with Psycho, Hitchcock, he's the king of these type of mysteries. Rear Window, Vertigo, Dial M for Murder, its remake, A Perfect Murder, and then like Gone Girl. We'll cover that later on in this series. And then last but not least, we have the noir slash neo-noir crime story. These are just more mood setting. They're darker, grittier, hard-boiled. These cover much more point of views than the detective or the criminal. You get everybody's input, who's involved. These usually have a tragic type feel. So this is definitely Roger Rabbit, Dark Knight, Blade Runner, Chinatown, The Maltese Falcon.
That is my favorite.
Yeah, the noir.
I love noir.
Yeah, this is, the saxophone is a playing, and there's a femme fatale.
Cigarette in a dark room.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Someone usually gets stabbed once and dies. Or, you know, either shot off a building or a boat. It's usually that. So, yeah. Man. Like I said, I love all mysteries. My favorite is the basic kind of, like, murder. I like all of these, honestly. Except the police procedural. I don't really gravitate towards those. Unless it is a more cat and mouse situation. But, like, Hannibal. It's very hard for me to pick a favorite. I think I'm going to go with the amateur sleuth, though. Because those kind of speak more to me. So I do like the Stranger Things, and the Scooby-Doos. But I very much so like the legal and medical. We don't get a lot of those, but I loved How to Get Away with Murder. Primal Fear is an excellent movie. Avoid Disclosure. I also like Caper Stories. So I like them all. That's what I'm going to rest on. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Mommy's going to the beauty parlor, darling. But I'm leaving you with your favorite friend, Roger. He's going to take very, very good care of you. Because if he doesn't, he's going back to the science lab.
What was wrong with that take?
Nothing with you, baby Herman. You were great. You were perfect. You were better than perfect. Just Roger. He keeps blowing his lines.
Roger.
What's this?
A tweeting bird.
Tweeting bird. Roger, read the script. Look what it says. It says rabbit gets clunked. Rabbit sees stars. Not birds. Stars! Can we lose the playback, please? You're killing me.
For crying out loud, Roger. How many times do we have to do this damn scene? Raoul! I'll be in my trailer, taking a nap.
Excuse me,
please, Butch. Raoul, I can give you stars. Just drop the refrigerator in my head one more time.
Roger, I dropped it on your head 23 times already.
I can take it. Don't worry about me.
I'm not worried about you. I'm worried about the refrigerator.
This is the tale of an up-and-coming movie star named Roger Rabbit and a down-and-out private detective.
And stay up!
Named Eddie Valiant.
Ooga booga.
Every moment they were together. There's a new adventure in trouble.
Hide me, Eddie! Please!
It's a motion picture about friendship.
Make it easy, will ya? Please, Eddie!
Don't tell me I'm making a big mistake!
Love. Compassion.
All right, I'm sorry I yanked your ears.
All the time you yanked my ears?
Murder.
Marvin Acme. The rabbit cacked him last night.
Remember, you never saw me.
Sex.
I'd do anything for my husband, Mr. Valiant. Anything.
And violence.
Tunes gets him every time.
You wouldn't have any idea where the rabbit might be.
Got a thing for rabbits, huh?
The whole thing stinks like yesterday's diapers.
It's a comedy a little different. From all the rest.
I'm a pig!
I'm a toon!
I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
But tell me, Eddie, is that a rabbit in your pocket or you're just happy to see me?
Touchstone Pictures and Steven Spielberg present a Robert Zemeckis film.
We toons may act idiotic, but we're not stupid.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
All right, we're back and we're going to talk about Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So Roger Rabbit, released in June 22nd, 1988, is directed by Robert Zemeckis. He is mostly famous for the Back to the Future trilogy, Forrest Gump, Castaway, The Polar Express, the Christmas Carol animated computer movie with Jim Carrey. And he most recently did Witches, the remake that premiered on HBO Max. The film stars Bob Hopkins, Christopher Lloyd, Charles Fleischer, Kathleen Turner, Stubby Kaye, and Joanna Cassidy. And the plot goes as this. Down on his luck, Private Eye Eddie Valiant, played by Bob Hopkins, gets hired by cartoon producer R.K. Maroon, played by Alan Trevine, to investigate the adultery scandal involving Jessica Rabbit, played by Kathleen Turner, the sultry wife of Maroon's biggest star, Roger Rabbit, played by Charles Fleischer. But when Marvin Acme, played by Stubby Kaye, Jessica's alleged paramour and the owner of Toontown, is found murdered, the villainous Judge Doom, played by Christopher Lloyd, vows to catch and destroy Roger Rabbit. The film's budget was $50.6 million, and the box office intake was $329.8 million. And just some bonus things about the movie. The movie is actually based on a book called Who Censored Roger Rabbit by Gary K. Wolfe. The film was released under Touchstone, which is Disney's more adult-centered studio, and it actually won some Oscars. It was nominated for 7, and it won 4: Best Visual Effects, Best Film Editing, Best Sound Editing, and a Special Achievement Award. So let's get into Who Framed Roger Rabbit. So let's start with Zarya. This is your first time watching the movie all the way through. How'd you feel about it?
I was kind of confused. With like the plot. The plot was pretty right there. What confused me was some of the characters, because I'm like, the whole time I'm like, wait, is this a Disney movie or a Warner Brothers movie? Well, they're like, ain't Bugs Bunny and Daffy with Warner? And then yep. There was Mickey, that's Disney. And then there was Betty Boop, who's technically Paramount. And I'm just, Paramount. And I'm just like, who owns this movie the whole time? This is what I'm like.
Well, the answer is Disney owns the movie because they will win. Disney does own the movie. But yeah, this was a big collaboration by the I believe the person that is credited for getting all these people together is actually Steven Spielberg. He was heavily involved in convincing and paying a lot of the studios to get together on this one movie. And, you know, there were tons and tons of contracts. Like, I know the most famous one is that Bugs and Daffy had to have the same amount of screen time as Mickey and Donald. Like, that is a big one.
So it makes sense while they were in the scenes together.
Yeah, that they had to have the same amount of screen time. You know, there's tons of other characters that didn't make the cut. But, they, you know, it's, yeah, this is the biggest cooperation I've seen Disney do for any other company pretty much since, like, the whole thing with Sony and Spider-Man. Other than that, these are like the only two collaborations Disney has like ever done. It's so funny seeing that they cooperated with this. Although Disney will not promote this movie in any kind of way. You go to a Disney park, you will probably find only one Roger Rabbit memorabilia. But as soon as they could, even though the movie was a success and made a lot of money, as soon as they could, Disney scrapped this and, you know, put it under the rug.
They don't like fun.
Yeah, they like bunny.
But yeah. Other than being confused on who owns the movie, it's actually pretty cool, because at one point I was like, wait, not my girl Jessica, because they had her looking real sus. Red was real sus. But
I wondered if we were going to go through this podcast and not bring up sus, and I'm so glad it wasn't me.
Like, Among Us is very big right now.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, don't make this podcast dated. Go ahead.
But yeah. Well, speaking of dated, this movie kind of didn't age pretty well.
Really?
There was a scene like towards the end when Doom was like Frisker, and the first thing he did was go up her dress or go in her dress.
Yeah. He'd be Me Too'd so hard.
And then even the PI dude, when it was in the bar scene, and he went under the bar, and the girl was just standing up, and he pulled her by the front of her shirt, and her, like...
Yanked Dolores' shirt,
Dolores.
So the movie hasn't really aged well, but it's a cool movie. Looks it kept like my it
started
attention.
On the baby, though.
Oh yes,
smacking ass, and
baby Herman. Oh God,
he went under homegirl's dress.
Beginning of the movie.
Yes. Her toots. Like, ask her what her name is.
What about you, Shelton?
I honestly, all the way through, I don't even care about the mystery. This is so fucking funny, dude. The whole movie is so freaking funny.
It really is. I'm surprised the comedy still works, honestly. For the most part.
I'm not, just because, like, it didn't use shock comedy or anything like that. It simply was funny.
Yeah.
So anybody with a sense of humor can look at it and be like, ooh, that would not fly nowadays. But at the same time, be like, okay, but I can admit that was pretty funny.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So let's kind of go through this movie here. This is a mystery series. So we're going to walk through the mystery and talk about, you know, we're not going to go scene by scene. I'm going to try not drag this stuff out. But I do have certain highlights I want to go with. All right, so we begin the movie with a classic cartoon. And it's Roger Rabbit and Baby Herman. And, you know, it gets revealed that it's actually on set. They're filming and Roger keeps flubbing his line. Although that whole cartoon seemed like a very bad babysitting PSA, so that's all I could think about. But yes, so we get introduced to our characters pretty quickly. Eddie is at the studio for some reason, and it's established that he hates Toons. But yet he gets hired by RK Maroon, who is, I'm assuming it's like your Warner Brother executive or like Walt Disney type character. And he's hired to follow Jessica. So the studio, so they pretty much is blackmail. They can, you know, he follows Jessica, so it gets Roger out of his rut. And Roger can be continue to be the big star he is without being distracted, I guess. I didn't really, that part wasn't really too clear for me. But yeah, so first off, I'm going to say that this whole entire plot is Chinatown. I wanted to do Chinatown for this series, but the movie wasn't available for free, and I don't have any money to pay for it. So I chose this one as a second. But a lot of this plot and a lot of things that they reference would be, it would connect better if you saw Chinatown. You know, that has Jack Nicholson in it. It's a much more straightforward, but same exact plot. You know, he's hired to follow someone, take some pictures. Afterwards, the person that he takes the pictures of is murdered. One main suspect is the woman. There's not necessarily a Roger Rabbit character in there, but then in the background, there's this big old construction of a highway happening, and that kind of drives the plot. So that's what we have here. So let's see here. How we feel so far when we see, like, you know, him being hired, understanding Eddie's character, his motivation, what he's doing, Dumbo at the window, how we feel?
I feel like it's the perfect kind of, you know, storyline of a bitter detective has a bad experience, which in this, it's his brother dies in some Toon accident, and then he hates Toons afterwards. But it's the perfect, you know, person has bad experience, associates bad experience with certain thing or people or object or something, and then is forced back into it and becomes to love it again.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. What about you, Zarya?
Pretty much verbatim what Shelton said. Yeah, like, yeah, mad at the world detective, gets mad at something, and then just so happens that the thing to get him, like, he has the whole face of spears type shit or whatever. And so yeah, it was kind of like, well, this is what's gonna happen in the movie. It was like, yeah, pretty straightforward.
One thing about this though is usually when this trope kind of happens, it can feel kind of like extremely predictable or annoying, like it's so in your face. Mm-hmm. But in this movie, there's so much going on that you can't, like, the trope is more background.
Yeah.
It drives the character development more than anything else.
Although I feel this movie's character development kind of gets lost. It's very, well, I won't say it gets lost, but as soon as Roger enters the main story, it kind of loses its, like, you know, and we're here to laugh, guys, not necessarily tell a story. But other than that, I don't really have too many complaints about this movie. But yeah, so what did crack me up, and this is just like, you know, if you watch a lot of movies, this is just a weird way to do it. But you have to have a lot of exposition in order for people to understand the characters and what the story is going to be about. So we literally have him walk from the studio as we are seeing things about the plot happening. You know, someone's talking in the background, talking about public transportation. No, Eddie talks about having great public transportation. And then we see like a clover leaf truck or something, or a billboard in the background, or he might be talking to Dolores. I don't exactly remember, but just a lot of information being fed to us and very subtle type stuff. We get two guys are talking, and they're talking about how his brother died from having a piano literally dropped on his head.
Which, yeah.
That's a horrible way to die.
Man.
Yeah.
That is, wow. Like, the, just the, even in a
dude got it worse though, of safe,
yeah,
right on his head.
Yeah, we'll talk about that guy, but man, like, a whole piano dropped on his head. So yeah, we end up meeting Dolores at the bar. Her and Eddie, I guess, have a past, used to date or whatever, but really the plot kicks in when he takes half of the money and he goes to the nightclub where they only serve humans. And we get all of our favorite cartoons as they serve these humans. I love this nightclub. I wish this was real. Donald and Daffy have their Battle of the Ducks with pianos. Honestly, the funniest
bit. I thought
that
was so cool. I like that. I like that. That was like probably one of my favorite parts. What is it? Because I'm just like, I don't know, because prior to this movie, I was always like, what? Like, I've never seen anything. I was like, what happens if, like, Donald and Daffy meet, and then here's what happens.
They would fight Daffy, each other.
Daffy talks shit. Donald got hit. I'm just kidding.
Oh, man. Who's your favorite, Donald or Daffy? I think I've been more of a Donald type, but I did grow up watching Looney Tunes more than Mickey Mouse, but I don't know.
No, because I'm kind of like a Warner Brother geek, so I was kind of watching Looney Tunes more than I did Mickey.
Yeah.
Because I watched like Looney Tunes, I watched like baby Looney Tunes, I watched like the other Looney Tunes stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, like I wrote this later on in my notes, but this movie reminded me a lot of Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Yes. And
that could totally fit as like a mystery, although that one takes a more spy James Bond type feel, but that is just it's just as meta, it's just as wacky. I you know, the scene that sticks out to me the most, there's two scenes, but the scene that sticks out to me the most is when Shaggy and Scooby are talking to Matthew Lillard, and they're talking about the Scooby-Doo movie and how he did. And then later on when Brendan Fraser is at like the house or whatever, I forgot the context of the plot, but all I know is that Bugs Bunny recreates the shower scene from Psycho. Like, but this movie did remind me a lot of that. So moving forward, we get introduced to first we get introduced to Marvin Acme, who is revealed to be the guy that creates all the Acme products. If you're a Looney Tunes person, you know Acme is the stuff that Wile E. Coyote uses to fail at everything he does.
Yep. I peeped it. I was like, oh. So yeah, when I saw it, I was like, okay, I saw what you did there. I picked up what you're putting down.
In Toontown. Yeah.
Ooh, bars.
Hey. Okay. Get at me.
Walt.
Although it's very ironic that, you know, he makes weapons of like destruction and then he gets killed. Like, that's the irony there is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets killed so easily. But
he's only human. That was
safe.
Biggest safe you ever seen.
Man, where was the blood on that crime scene? Because that guy should have been eliminated. Like, that's, man, he would not, his, the pain.
Wait, didn't it just fall on his head?
Yeah, it was like right on his head. So it's like, oh my God.
So his head got crushed like a grape.
Yeah. Ooh.
I can't eat grapes now.
Oddly, I want some.
Okay.
Moving forward. So after we meet Marvin Acme and his disappearing ink, which is like totally a plot contrivance because Jesus Christ, disappearing ink. We see the Penguin from Mary Poppins serving drinks, and he's like, I want a drink on the rocks, and he brings it back, and it's an actual rock in the drink.
I love that so much.
Yes. We got hip hop icon Betty Boop. Man, she's so I wonder how she stands with that big head. Betty Boop though is really cute here. She's actually voiced by her original voice actress before the actress died. So
I looked up the cast and I saw that.
Yes. Speaking of actresses though, we enter and we have Jessica Rabbit putting on one of the most sexiest shows I've ever seen. Man, this is definitely a sexual awakening for a lot of generations, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I wrote in my notes, before Meg Thee Stallion, there was Jessica Rabbit. Look at those knees. Like,
honestly, like...
Oh, God.
Before there was Megan, there was Jessica. Yes. Jessica walks so Megan can run.
Yes. Literally, Jessica walks. Go ahead, Sheldon.
That was like the great awakening for hentai in America.
Yeah. Animation isn't so bad after all. But yeah.
Put big boobs on an animated character. That's how that happened.
That's the entire like writing room for the American Naruto right there.
Oh no.
That's all I needed.
Fun fact about Jessica Rabbit, she's actually played by three actresses. There was an actress.
I saw that. I was very confused.
There was an actress that stood in for the actual character, like on set, so they knew where to look and everything. Then there's a voice actress, which is Kathleen Turner. And then there's a singing actress who is the one I geeked about the most because her name is Amy Irving. At the time, she was married to Steven Spielberg, but Amy Irving played Sue in Carrie. She was the nice girl that was nice to Carrie and lent her boyfriend out for Carrie to kill. Oof. So, yeah. Aww,
that's cute.
Yep, that's so sweet. This is where she ended up. But yes, so
nice.
So moving on, Jessica and Marvin Acme are revealed to have an affair, and they were playing patty cake.
Oh my god!
You don't know how hard I laughed at this. Go ahead, sorry. So though.
Towards the, because like, okay, so they were doing like the, because okay, so the whole time the camera was on Homeboy, and so all you heard was the noise, and I'm just like, this is a kid's movie. What is happening? And then the scene cut to Roger. He was like gripping like the blinds, and he was also making noises. I was like, what is happening? And then it just revealed that he was crying.
Yes, yes. I laughed so hard when they were like, patty cake. Yeah, your dame was playing patty cake on you, man. Here, drink this. And I was like, oh my god.
And then you see the pictures, and they're legit playing patty cake. I was kind of, at that point, I was like, okay, I'm kind of disappointed they weren't just playing patty cake. Like, yes. I get it's a kids movie, but okay, come on.
Yes. Also, Roger can't handle his liquor.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, who cares if she fucked him? Patty cake, that's the ultimate betrayal right there.
Yeah. Look, Jessica's fine or whatever, but she's obviously for the streets. Like,
Stop. Y'all not gonna do my girl just like that.
Yeah, no, I do like Jessica. She's probably my favorite character throughout this entire movie, even though she is suspect number like one. Like,
big sus.
Yeah, but yeah, so Roger can't handle the liquor and runs out, reminding me of Looney Tunes. He leaves a giant hole in the window, but the window doesn't crack. Like, that was weird. But it's a cartoon, so. So we get, you know, Eddie goes home, he drinks himself to sleep, we get more exposition. Him and Dolores and his brother were partners on they're pretty much the mystery ink is what I'm going to use here, but they solve mysteries and crimes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning, Roger is revealed to be the main suspect in Marvin Acme's death. Like we said, he has a safe dropped on his head. There's no blood, but oddly enough, Jessica is there and she just slaps Eddie in the face, which is hilarious. Like,
she popped him.
I wrote in my notes, imagine being slapped by a cartoon. Like, ouch. But it is here we get our first clue. We have the buzzer, Marvin Acme's brother. It falls out and Eddie goes to grab it. So, you know, it kind of calls back to the fact that Marvin is a prankster, but it doesn't necessarily fit into the plot till much, much later on.
Mm-hmm.
But here we get Judge Doom, Christopher Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd is awesome, even though he is obviously the villain. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, it's very on the nose, but that's my only complaint is that even for a kid's movie, he's, you know, this is the man that framed Roger Rabbit. I mean, this is your answer here. But he does make for a very menacing type villain though. And I think Christopher Lloyd is absolutely amazing. We also get introduced to the Weasels. They're supposed to be based on the Seven Dwarves, but there's only like, what, five of them?
Yeah, there's definitely not seven. Yeah, I don't want to guess that.
Yeah, they were supposed to be more, but they decided to cut it down. But they're supposed to be like evil versions of the Seven Dwarves. We also get introduced to the main, like, you know, death thing here. The dip is what they call it, which I can only think about country white boys.
Stop. Before tobacco was like banned on campus, that's all they would do in class, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, we literally had a person in our math class who would do dip and spit into a water bottle, and I'd be like, well,
yep,
I'm already terrible at math, yeah, and this is just distracting. Like, I'm already bad at it, and you're just, I can't, well, sir, I can't do,
I'm gonna
fractions.
Fail.
Yeah, like, I can't, especially since our math class in senior year was like right during lunch too, so it's like, imagine,
oh, I'm
having,
hungry, I don't get, yeah, mad, uh-huh, and he got chocolate water.
Yeah, like, yeah. Bro. But so here's a fun thing about dip. They actually say it though, but turpentine, acetone, and benzene. This is actually the combination of things they would use to erase things in cartoons when during production, like an actual cartoon. So like you say, you know, Looney Tunes, you know, they mess up, they use that to erase it and then redraw the character or whatever. So
That's pretty cool.
That is super interesting.
That is extremely, although that poor shoe.
Yo, that shoe got fucking murked.
Yeah. it went mouth first. So it's like, oh no.
The part that gets me though is he pulls his glove out that thing and it's just covered in red goo that just looks like blood. Like, damn, they really just did not care.
Yes, although, you know, not necessarily a clue, but, well, actually, it is kind of a clue. Clue number two, never mind, not clue number two. But, it's you know, if you're paying attention, he puts on gloves and he backs away when the thing spills later. So, you know, this guy, he's pretty sus as well. Black is pretty sus as well, because if you're human, why is this affecting you like acid? So, again, I think children is easy for children to figure it out. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but for me personally, you know, I would make it more challenging. But then again, I'd probably be fired. So we do move on to our second clue. Baby Herman and his nurse, I'm assuming, are at Valiant's office. And I get one of the most funniest lines I've ever heard in a movie.
Oh, my God.
A 50-year-old lust with a 3-year-old winky. Huh? I was like, I had to pause the movie and be like, this, they did not. And I've seen this movie before. I'm very familiar with this movie.
Funny. But
like, that line just makes me pause.
Hey, hold up.
Wait a minute.
Hold up.
Yeah, like, how old is this thing? Like, like, I know it's a cartoon, but man. I love how it's a man, though. But we do get our second clue for the movie in the mystery here. Baby Herman brings up, while trying to defend Roger by saying his coworker wouldn't do this. He knows him. He loves Jessica, but he wouldn't do this. And he brings up Acme's will. So we knew that, I guess, Acme was planning on dying anyway. But he had a will on hand, and he was going to provide it to the Toons, and it disappeared. And then we also find out that Roger's hiding out at Valiant's little hideaway area, and he gives his alibi. He went to look for Jessica, but she wasn't in her dressing room, so he went home and waited for her there during the time of the murder. At this point, do we believe Roger? I mean, like, I don't know if you guys, you know, earlier, Zarya, you said obviously it wasn't Roger, but what do we think at this point? Is Roger a murderer?
Nah.
Yeah.
he couldn't even do his whole like scene correctly. He kept flubbing up the lines. I don't think he's capable of killing someone.
Yeah. What about you, definitely Shelton?
Miss. Yeah. No, definitely not. Plus he's way too wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's literally like, I went and wrote her a love letter.
Oh my god, that part kills me.
Fucking trillion and then starts counting it in the letter.
It's just like, what? Roger's hilarious, but low-key annoying, honestly. Like, there was a certain point I was kind of like done with Roger. I'm like, all right, stop talking. And luckily, he does go away for a while. But just all the, like, that, okay, I get it.
It's supposed to be funny, I got it.
Yeah. But yeah, I do like that Roger does give an alibi. And so we also get some more foreshadowing that weasels enter the building and, if you're paying attention, one of the weasels says, stop laughing or you'll die laughing, foreshadowing, which is, I love that little thing. Every time I watch this movie, I'm like, ha, they're going to die laughing.
But which, yeah, that's, I was about to say, if you don't like, yeah, it is very subtle too. So that's why I liked it.
Yes.
Like how like subtle it was, because like towards the end about what happened with them, when I was like, oh, he did say that they're going to die if they keep laughing.
100%.
It was very subtle. It was very subtle how they did it.
Yeah, they kept repeating it too, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, what I found hilarious is that while Roger's talking, he mentions his uncle Thumper, Bambi. So now we know where Roger comes from, lineagely. He's somewhat. I mean, it makes sense why he's a star. Even though Thumper, I would argue Thumper is a dramatic actor, so why did he go comedy? But Then again, he looks goofy, so, you know. So moving forward, we, you know, Eddie takes Roger to the bar so they can get uncuffed. But Roger, being petty as he is, he just takes his hand out of the cuffs.
Man.
That part got me. I was like, oh, that's so mean. But they decide to hide.
The whole time.
Yeah. So they decide to hide Roger in that little speakeasy area. I love a good speakeasy. And so Eddie goes back to his house and we get more Jessica. God, I love Jessica in this. She's perfect. I love the conversation she has with Eddie because, you know, it's very like she sounds suspicious, but, and, you know, it's so clever because Eddie sees right through what she's doing, but he just can't help himself. But Jessica gives her alibi and she says, you know, she says to Eddie that Eddie was set up to take those pictures on purpose and that she was in on it. But it was only to get Roger to start, you know, stop worrying and, I guess, be a better comedian. Which is a, compared to Roger's alibi, Jessica needed to think about that a little bit more. But I guess she was telling the truth at the end. But, again, extremely suspect. And I do love the line, though. I'm not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Yeah, that's so good.
That was awesome. That got me. I was like, okay, you got me. Eddie's caught by Dolores with his pants down. I love that. Man. She calls it out. We also get the information through Dolores that Cloverleaf wants Toontown. So at this point in the movie, how we feeling? Like, are you guys following the mystery easily? What, you know, what's sticking out to you? What do you like? What do you don't like?
Some around this point, I was like, all right, okay, so. Someone does want, like, even before, like, Dolores had said that someone wants Toontown, I was like, someone's probably going to end up wanting Toontown.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what I thought by this point, that some, like, part of, like, the mystery, I was like, okay, so the end goal is Toontown. No matter how they get it, that's the end goal, is getting Toontown.
Yeah, that's the main MacGuffin rather than Roger himself. They go back to the bar. I do like how again they're talking about laughing and dying and dying and laughing. Roger does give some good information here. He says laughter is sometimes the only weapon that toons have, again foreshadowing the ending for the weasels. But I love that he's sitting on a soapbox and doing it. You get that clever like pun there. He's on a soapbox advocating for something while literally sitting on a soapbox. Like, that's, you know, wink wink, nudge nudge. But I hate that Roger that... go ahead.
I'm glad that in the middle of like the corny monologue, it's like, hey, we gotta shut up now or else you're gonna get killed.
Yes. Was it Doom enters the bar?
Yeah.
I love the guy that just challenges him. He's like, yeah, seen a rabbit. And then like makes fun of him by just, hey, say hi, buddy. I was like, that guy deserves to be punched in the face, but he came in clutch, but I would have punched him in the face. Wasted my time. Like, and I hate that Roger gives himself away, but it provides a good chase. He does the whole knock knock thing and two bits. Oh crap. Yeah, so this is where I did mark my third clue here. After Roger has some more liquor and him and Eddie jet out of there, I do like the line. Shouldn't a rabbit have a last request before being executed? Yeah, nose plugs. Clue number three: Doom steps back from the dip when it spills over. You know, again, if you're human, why are you backing away from it? Ha 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 ha. Mm-hmm. Introduced to my second favorite character, Benny the Cab. Oh my god. Why was the car locked up in a car though?
For driving on the sidewalk.
Yeah. It was only a couple of miles. Like,
oh, that line was great.
Oh, I love this whole chase with Benny. He was like, I'll drive. No, I'll drive. No, I'll drive. And then he goes. He's like, pull the lever. Which one? And it pops up. This one, stupid. Like, just the jokes in here just makes me laugh. Like, you know, what do you call the middle of a song? A bridge.
Because y'all know I like corny jokes. So I was legit like giggling the entire time with all the corny jokes.
Like that was like extremely funny for some reason. Like I know it shouldn't be, but like I can't help myself but laugh.
I hate corny jokes, but I feel like that movie just has a kind of charm to it. You can't it be really mad does. At it.
Like, I think the best way they come over is because they're so quick. Like, they say it so fast. So it's like, you either miss it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So we do get the, like, I would call, like, you know, the lull of the movie. They hide out in a movie theater. They're watching Goofy. Roger idolizes Goofy. But Eddie really goes into the death of his brother. And then we get our fourth clue. Eddie recounts that the guy that killed his brother had red eyes and a high, squeaky voice. Who could that be? So Dolores comes in. Let's talk about Dolores for a second. Her fashion in this movie was A1. Like, we talked about Jessica.
Oh, I loved it. Like, she was. Yeah, Jessica is a kind of a fashion icon, but Dolores was a low-key one, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, she came in with the hats, the matching dresses, the brooches. I was like, yes, okay. Mm-hmm. I see.
Too classy for what's his name?
Yeah, Eddie.
Yeah, she was way too classy for Eddie.
I do like, So after that, we find out that Maroon made a deal with Cloverleaf to obtain the will and sell the studio, I believe. And we find out that Cloverleaf is the one behind it all and trying to build everything. Well, we don't find it out too much later, but Roger, he tells Roger to stay out there while he goes talk to Maroon, and he immediately gets kidnapped, which is hilarious. There's another cartoon character that gets kidnapped, but we'll talk about her next time. So, you know, wink, wink. So Maroon confesses, although I like how when Eddie sneaks into the office and he tells him, "What's up, Doc?" And he's like, "Oh, you scared me." Such an old man. But yeah, he confesses he wanted to sell the studio, but Cloverfield wanted Acme, so he had to blackmail. He had to blackmail a lot of people. Like, I guess this one move is blackmail. But he ends up murdered, and we go on another car chase to Toontown. Roger's missing. We get back with Jessica. But I love how he goes into Toontown. But before he does, he pulls out this cartoon gun, and we got cowboy bullets. Yeah. I love how, and they're not even like regular bullets. They're like, he shoots one at the bottle and it like burrows at the thing, but it stops and like pulls out an axe and like chops the bottle in half or something like that. Like the extraness. Yes, I love it. But he goes into Toontown and he's chasing and freaking Toontown. I got annoyed at this point because I was like, oh, it's too happy. Like Toontown is literally this magical land. Yeah, but like, man, I don't know. It's weird. But
the world's supposed to be all gritty and real, while Toontown is like a fairy tale. Love it.
But like, to me though, it was more Looney Toontown than like Disney cartoons. It's all like ooh ah aha.
Yeah, like
Looney Tunes. But it was more of a look.
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It was just more of like. I don't know. I just got more of a Looney Tunes feel for it than a Disney, if you will.
Yeah, like my biggest when I was I had the same thought too. I was watching it, and it felt like, especially because Looney Tunes largely, a lot of the Looney Tunes just live out in the wild. Like they don't really have a house or anything. They just live out in the forest, and this is what Toontown is. It's just like a big forest. There's a couple of buildings that we see, but like Disney pretty much sets their characters in a like a very much society, while Looney Tunes, they're just invading society.
No, you're right. That is typically how it is, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I've always seen it. But Eddie goes into a building. He thinks he sees Jessica, but it's not. And we get one of my favorite jokes. Oh, man! And he gets chased by this horse.
Oh, my God. This
horse-faced woman. Oh, God. Also, Tweety Bird's a dick.
Honestly, and I did not appreciate that.
Man, like, so Eddie's hanging off of like a flagpole or something after falling and running away from that horse face woman, and Tweety Bird just comes out. Well, this widow Piggy went to the market. This widow Piggy went home. Bing, and he just like, man, Tweety, really? This
is why you're always... And then he had the nerve to be surprised when he ran out of fingers.
Yeah.
That's exactly how Tweety Bird is, though.
I haven't watched a Tweety Bird cartoon in a long time. No, but man.
He seemed more dicky in this. He seemed a lot more dicky like, in this one.
And he had no reason.
Like, I'm about to say, this is, like, he's usually clever. This was, he was being a straight up dick right here.
That's how he is to people he doesn't like. If there's anyone he's messing with, he's like that.
Yeah, like,
if he's friends with him, he's super sweet. But if he's messing with you, you're getting full on dick mode.
Well, I'm not used to the like normal Tweety Bird. I'm so used to the sweet, cute little baby Tweety Bird from Baby Looney Tunes. So seeing him here,
that's why.
Pretty much murder a man is like, oh my god. Like, you know, Tweety Bird to me is usually the runt of the group, but now he attempted to murder Eddie in this movie.
You should see how Tweety Bird treated that fucking cat.
Sylvester.
I feel like it was justified.
He did try to kill him. He did try to eat him. All right, so yeah, so here we get our big, you know, the big stars. Not the big stars, but like, I feel like, you know, the money shot of this movie, Bugs and Mickey skydiving for some reason.
Yeah.
And I love the joke here. Eddie asks for a parachute or a spare parachute because they both have parachutes. And Mickey's like, I don't think you want to. Are you sure? And then he's like, yeah, give me a spare. And because Bugs Bunny has always been a dick, he gives him a spare tire. Oh my god.
He literally gives him a spare.
Mickey tried to warn him.
He did.
And it's like, I didn't see it coming either.
Honestly, at this point in the movie, just knowing how Looney Tunes are, I was like, yep, you ain't gonna get what you need. They always give you something, but it's never what you need.
Yeah.
Or it's exactly what you asked for. So, because all he said was a spare. So people associate spare with spare tire. So he got exactly what he wanted, what he asked for. So
I absolutely loved it. Jessica saves Eddie and she gets the gun that killed Maroon, and we get the reveal that pretty much Doom was behind it all, and that Jessica kidnapped Roger and put him in the back of a trunk, but he got out and took the car. So I have zero things about that, honestly. I do like the part where they're driving in the car. I think they're running away from the weasels or something, but Eddie goes, what do you see in that rabbit? She goes, he makes me laugh. Well, that's about right. We know she's genuine. Jessica Rabbit for the win. So Roger then picks up Benny, who he crashed earlier, which is hilarious. Again, like, so the car gets into the car and says, move, I'll drive. I had no choice but to laugh at that. That was funny. And I love how he turns on his own headlights, too. Like, so we're at the end of this movie here, and we pretty much get all the reveals that, you know, Doom owns Cloverleaf. He's behind everything. We get this whole, like, highway plot that he wants to turn Toontown into a highway or freeway. It reminded me a lot of Bates Motel, because that's literally a plot line for, like, the later seasons that explains why the motel is so, like, no one ever goes there because no one can see it because there's a giant highway there.
But not just becoming a highway. He wanted it to be a whole exit with gas stations. And I'm just like, okay, so you did all of this for an exit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Truck stop.
You killed a man and then framed a cartoon to build a freeway instead of going to town hall and advocating for it.
Exactly.
Like, you know...
Like, if you're going to do something evil...
Be
do
evil.
Do something like, evil. Wait!
Don't cut corners. Like, come on, man. You've murdered people.
Know, yeah. I'm pretty sure the legal part was all the murder.
All the murder. But yeah, so Eddie does a song and dance in order to get the weasel stuff, Die Laughing. Again, love that. Mm-hmm. We get a big old dip gun is what I put in my he wants to literally spray a cartoon town with acid to build a free, like, that is insane. Like, even in the context of the world, you couldn't have found anything else. Like, a giant gun is what he came up with. Like, a giant gun. Like, even in the 80s, any 80s movie, a giant, well, then again, this movie did come out around the same time as Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and the plot for that movie revolves around a giant gun, so maybe I'm wrong. But, like, still, like, a giant gun, which is hilarious. It's a big old water gun, honestly.
It's so tuned, though. Like, yeah. I'm going to make my plan work with this thing that's normal.
I was cracking up at how big this little water squirter was. Like, he's gonna literally spray Toontown to death. That made me laugh. But so we get the reveal that Doom is a cartoon and that he's also the one that killed Eddie's brother, which this part horrifies me. Like, it just keeps getting higher and higher.
Oh god, his freaking voice, dude.
Yes. How do we feel about the ending here, Zarya?
I wasn't surprised, but then I was like surprised, and then I was like, he's like an ugly cartoon.
His eyes turn into literal daggers.
Yeah. Like when his human eyeballs, if you will, popped out, I was like, and then like he turned around with his cartoon eyes, I was like, ew. Like, I don't know, I didn't like that he was a cartoon, because he was not a nice, he wasn't nice the whole movie, but he wasn't nice to look at.
he was just scary looking, like, even, he was just unsettling, honestly. I'm pretty sure this gave kids nightmares, but like, he goes under a steamroller, flattens, pulls himself back up, and oh my god, he's a dude.
But I honestly loved it, just because, like, you know he's the villain,
yeah,
you don't know that he's a tune, so that was like a really good plot twist. And yeah, it's just like the reveal for him was, it's like, okay, so when Eddie was talking about, like, describing the tune that killed his brother as though it was like a demon, yeah, this dude looks like a demon.
Yeah, yeah. And did you really find his, like, the twist, like, shocking? Because again, his first scene, I'm like, well, he's obviously the bad guy. I mean, like, no, okay, I guess the whole
obviously
tune thing.
The bad guy, but not a tune. It just seems like he's a dick and just hates tunes.
Yeah, but he is wearing sunglasses the entire time. But like, I don't know.
Sunglasses all the time.
You know what? You're right. I take everything back. Maybe that's just me. It's pretty scary, though. Like, the way he melts.
Yeah. It's kind of like, the melting is the, like, oh, that's nightmare fuel.
Yeah, again, this is all stuff they use to erase cartoons. I like the one part, like, so that was a mask. Like, he had a rubber mask. Like, okay.
Get him that whole time, though. His face does look weird.
It does. Christopher Lloyd is awesome. But yeah, so that's the end. We find out that Roger wrote his note on the actual, like, will.
Dumbass. Fucking stupid. I mean, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, no, he, no.
You're right. You're very right.
you're very right. He is an idiot. He is certainly an idiot, because I guess he was upset about Jessica, but still.
So you can't read? You don't see that this paper has words on it already?
Yeah. I mean, it took him hours to just pull his wrist out of the handcuffs. He could have done the entire while he was for his life.
Yes. Oh, so. God. Roger is freaking useless. But it works for this movie. But yeah, so in the end, the Toons inherit Toontown. It gets to live, and everyone lives happily ever after, and all the Toons live in harmony for a couple of years until Disney said, nope, segregation. So, recommends. Shelton, Zarya, how we feel? Recommend or not recommend for Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
I recommend it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty corny. If you like corny jokes, you'll love it. So, yeah, it's a 2 thumbs up recommend for me.
All right.
I agree on the same page completely. I think it's definitely one of those movies where you have to... I think everybody has to have watched it one at least once. Just because it's one of those movies where it's so iconic, and it takes the whole humans and animated characters living in the same world and makes it work so great, especially for the time.
Yes.
Like, they interact seamlessly together, and it makes the world feel so alive and real.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that. First off, you took my line, because usually I'm the one that says, you have to see this before you die. But, you know, you pretty much took it for this podcast. But, yeah, like, I think of all the other movies that I like. I mean, we'll talk about Scooby-Doo next week. But, like, that's a different type of thing here. But, like, the way the humans and the cartoons interact in this one is, like, absolutely perfect. Because I think of, like, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Garfield, even, like, Space Jam. Like, yeah. I do have some opinions that people don't like, but I'm not too big on Space Jam, even though I love Looney Tunes Back in Action. But, like, you know, seeing those movies and seeing that they pretty much derived from this one here is amazing, and they do it so well. I think the Oscars are definitely rewarded to the right movie, even though Die Hard was out that year. Another Christmas movie, by the way, but... So yeah, that's 2 recommends for you guys. And yes,
Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
Yeah, it takes place during a Christmas party. Have you not seen Die Hard?
I've never seen Die Hard.
We're gonna talk about this. Expect a text from me when I charge my phone, Zarya. Just know that.
So wait a couple days.
Oh god. But yes, I do recommend Who Framed Roger Rabbit. This is like Shelton said. It's an iconic movie. You gotta watch it. I do think the mystery aspect of it is a little weak, because it starts off that way, but it quickly diverges into just foolish comedy, which isn't, it's not bad comedy either, like we've described. So I love it. This is a movie that I would show my kids. That's what I would say.
I'm sorry, but it may have been kid friendly back in the day, but even I don't know about that one.
I would risk it. I would make them choose either watch Black Christmas or you're watching this one, kids. Which one?
Oh God.
I would hope that they would choose Who Framed Roger Rabbit and not Black Christmas.
Honestly. I'm kidding.
Flashbacks to when the baby dropped the cigar and was like, I dropped my baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Amazing. But yeah, that's our show, guys. Thanks for thanks for coming back. Yes, we're ending it there. Thanks for coming back on the first episode of season 3 of the podcast. This is off to a great start.
Thanks for having us back on such an iconic movie.
Honestly, like, this is a great movie to come back on. Hello, season 3.
Already, I love it.
Come on, season 3, let's get sickening.
Oh my god, man, wait till we get to Scooby-Doo. I'm telling you, I am going to lose my mind. But yes, that's our show. Like I said, thank you for listening. For more of the Murderboard podcast, you can find us on Instagram at murderboard_pod and on Twitter at murderboardthe. There you can ask questions and leave comments. Feel free to request what you feel like you want to listen to next time. Nope, scratch that. We already got things scheduled. Let me just erase. You don't get a choice.
Don't give up about your feelings.
That's going to get cut out. Don't forget to share the podcast with family and friends. You can find us on most of your favorite podcast networks, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and right here on the Anchor Podcast. Also, consider supporting the podcast and helping sustain future episodes such as this by hitting the support/link down in the show notes below.
Give us money.
Please.
That's a toast.
Look for new episodes on Fridays and Sundays. happy Thanksgiving season, I guess. This episode will be around that time. So we'll catch you again on the murder board. Or the cartoon board? The frame? Who framed the murder board?
Please, no.
Didn't even give me a chance to try.
Your first attempt was enough.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't have water tonight. I have ginger ale, so if I burp or cough, you know, don't.
How would ginger ale make you cough?
No. The it's bubbles?
Sprite,
I don't.
Basically.
It's dirty Sprite, honestly.
Is that another thing that we're adding to Shelton's list?
Oh yeah, ginger.
Coughing of ginger ale.
Mm-mm. Sheldon has
Walter
a.
Walter can drink a Coke and be just fine, but you give him ginger ale, it's gonna sound like he got coronavirus.
Shut up.
Why does ginger ale make you cough like that?
That's exactly. It doesn't.
I'm just saying, if I do it, don't think I'm dying.
But like, why does it make you like? Is it the ginger? Is it like a very like?
I don't fucking know. I didn't have water, okay? So I'm drinking ginger ale.
I'm not questioning what you drink. Why you're drinking? No, I'm not questioning the ginger ale. I'm questioning why do you cough?
I don't. I'm just saying. I don't know.
Because you could take a crisp, fresh Coke. No ginger ale.
Look, I don't know. Things are weird these days. Let's just leave it at that.
I see. Niggas is coughing up ginger ale.
Okay. And on that note, let's start this show. Oh. All right. Let me stop smiling now. All right, for real.
Serious, you guys.
Serious face, guys. Okay.
Quick, real quick. Do you have the fucking intro memorized yet?
Yes. Fuck you. And it wasn't even the intro, it was the outro. That's what I didn't have memorized.
You do both every time, though.
They've changed.
We're not gonna go over this. We're not gonna rehash this.
Whatever.
This is a whole podcast in itself.
I know, right?
Things that trigger Shelton.
Things that
with the podcast. Coughing and ginger ale.
Welcome to oh shit. The board fell. Oh shit! The murder board fell. The behind the scenes show of the podcast.
That's a great name.
That is a great name because it's like oh shit.
The board fell. Just a star on the eye.
Yeah.
Put that in the notes. That's a good one.
We might do that.
We might do. I don't know what. I just take a bunch of clips from like us pre-talking and like after stuff.
Oh,
that would be good.
Are you brushing your teeth? I'm literally about to start the intro and you decide to brush your teeth now.
She had to get it in real quick while we were
recording. No, the thing is, I heard y'all in my ear. I forgot.
Oh my god.
It's been a while.
Oh my god.
When you're done, sweetie.
I'm done.
She said, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh shit.
I am so
sorry. That's hilarious.
Cut. I'm been used to not having it. I got used to it really quickly. So hearing you guys, I just thought we were talking. Like, I thought we were on the phone. Forgot we were doing a whole podcast. And so as soon as I heard, is she brushing? I was like, fuck.
Tonight on Oh Shit, The Board Fell, Zarya brushes her teeth in the middle of the show.
Okay, so luckily you didn't even do the intro yet. So you could edit this part out. Like, I never brush my teeth.
I'm debating if this is going at the end or not.
I'm so sorry.
We might do that. Okay.
I'm so sorry.
You are okay. All right.
Okay. I'm muting myself.